think they're going to learn something about letting my people go in the corner, which will be brilliant, through some different activities. That'll be good fun. We've been working our way through the book of Exodus over the last few weeks, and we've got to the point where Moses stands before Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go," which is a good bit of the book of Exodus. I hope you've got something out of it. I've said this a few times, but I want to reiterate it today. The story of Exodus is a good story, not just because it happened, but because it happens. The story of Exodus, of people being freed from slavery, isn't just a good story because it happened to the Jewish people and it's their most important story. It's also a good story because it continually happens to us. That all of us have got opportunities to be free from stuff. All of us have got opportunities to take ourselves from a place that we shouldn't be in and move ourselves to the place that God wants us to be in. That's what I'm looking forward to resolve. That's why I think discipleship groups are so important, because we're taking ourselves from places that we shouldn't be in to the place that God really wants us to be in. I was reading this story this week. Any of you ever have the feeling that you are significantly in over your head? Do you ever have the feeling where you just look around and you just think, I have got no idea what I am meant to be doing at this point? This happens to me occasionally. I must admit, throughout my life, I try and avoid these situations. And I think we all do. We always try and feel like we roughly know what we're meant to be doing in any given situation, don't we? We always try and put ourselves in... Maybe it's because I'm not a particularly risk-taking individual. Maybe it's just that I play it safe. But on the whole, I try not to feel like I'm out of my depth. That changed for me significantly this week, because I went to a Baptist ministers' conference. And I'm looking around at these people. I'm thinking, I haven't got a clue what I'm doing. I didn't really know anyone, which isn't a great start. And then people continually asked me the same two questions throughout my 3 days there. The first one was, why on earth are you called Seven? Fair question. That's all right. I've had that question before. The second question that I think every single person who I met asked me, so Seven, where did you train? Yeah. And at that point, about that whole training thing, at that point I had to admit that I'd skipped that bit. And quite frankly, and for the 3 days, I just kept thinking, to be honest, I'm so out of my depth. Compounded by this, I don't know if you ever feel like that, that you're just in a time in your life and you think, I just don't really know what I'm meant to be doing here. I imagine Moses felt like that. He's standing there at the burning bush, taking off his shoes, and God says to him, right, you're going to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses' response is not surprising. To be honest, you got the wrong person for the job. This isn't me. And Moses goes before Pharaoh and he's standing in front of one of the most powerful people in the world and he says, let my people go. And I know that Moses, in the back of his mind, is thinking, I am well out of my depth here. I really don't know what I'm meant to be doing. It got to the stage on Wednesday where I really did feel this quite profoundly. I thought, I'm really not sure what I'm meant to be doing. So I went for a walk. And it was quite powerful, really, because God doesn't call us to always know exactly what we're meant to be doing. Let me read out this passage, which is the one that Annie just read. It was, I am the Lord, the God, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. And with mighty acts of judgment, I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. Because all of that time I was just thinking, to be honest, God, I don't know what I'm doing. To be honest, God, I think a little bit out of my depth. But the response from God is, you might know what you're doing, but I do. Because if we think it's all down to us to do everything, you will always feel that you can't do it. Because quite frankly, you probably can't. If you're listening to God and he's calling you somewhere, in your own strength, you almost certainly can't do it. And God replies, I am the Lord your God, and I will bring them out of Egypt. And this morning, I just want to remind you that God is a God who keeps his promises. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. I came back from that conference, and to be honest, I still don't really know what I'm doing. But I am confident in the God who brought us this far. I don't really know what I'm doing, but I've got so much confidence in the God who has brought us to this place. I'm not convinced that I know what the next step for this church is, but I've got so much confidence in the God who's brought us this far and won't leave us here. I'm the Lord your God, and I will bring you out of Egypt. Guys, you do not have to do it in your own strength. You don't have to feel like you're in control of everything. You don't have to feel like you're the one at whom the buck stops with. The buck doesn't stop with you. If God's called you to do it, then he'll do it. I was a bit inspired after I felt I heard that from God. And I was praying and I was talking to Charity about it. And here was the thing, and maybe you want to apply this to your life as well. I just said to her, if we really believe that God has brought us to Earl's Cone, then we can raise our expectations of what God's going to do in this place. If I'd brought myself to Earl's Cone, I would have expectations that are here, because that's what I feel I can accomplish. If it was me that brought me here, I'd have expectations here. But if it was God who brought us here, then my expectations should be in line with what God can do. I can do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. If it was God who brought us here, then we can rely on God. I think we said, all right, God, we're going to pray that we have 5 new visitors. Thanks for coming, the 5 of you who haven't been to this church before. We can raise our expectation of what God's doing. And this isn't just about Charity and me. This isn't just about us coming. God has brought you here for a reason. Whether it's for this Sunday, whether it's to this village, whether it's to Halstead, God has brought you here for the reason. And if you believe that, then you can rely on God's ability, not your own. If it was God who brought you here, then you can raise your expectations of what's God going to do. Because I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of Egyptians. It's a wonderfully freeing thing when you realise that there is only one God in the universe, and you're not it. If I was Moses at this point, and I heard that fantastic passage, I am the Lord your God, and I will bring them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God who promised you to take you to a promised land. I'm the one who's going to do it. If I was Moses at that point, I'd probably say, oh, good. Well, you crack on then. I've taken my shoes off. There's a nice burning bush. I'll just put my feet up by the fire, and that'll do. Off you go, Yahweh. They're your problem now. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. So go tell Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of your country. What? I am the Lord your God and I will bring my people out of Egypt. Fantastic, says Moses. Off you go. Therefore go tell the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, to let my people go. I'm sorry, what? Oh, it's me. So, it is God who does it all. Can we have a couple of slides, Beth? I think it's there. It is God who brings about his kingdom on this earth. It is God who makes all this happen. But then the next line says, all right, Moses, you 80-year-old shepherd who spent the last 30 years on the run from a murder charge, I'd like you to go and tell one of the most powerful people in the world to let his entire slave force go. Off you go. Off you go. Sometimes I think that the kingdom or the church is a little bit like a game of football. Now I quite like my football. I play it a little bit. Let me talk you through a couple of different attitudes we have towards the kingdom or towards church or towards what God's doing in the world. So one of them are the people who watch football on TV. And what I mean by this is, some people hear, well, God's on the move, God's doing something, so my job is to sit and to watch. Oh, God, you're doing something brilliant. I've got my burning bush. I've taken my shoes off. You crack on. And we sit and we watch the television. We might have a few opinions about what's going on there that we're very happy to share. But mostly, we're very comfortable here. Thank you very much, God. You crack on and do it. Some people are the next level. Some people are the proper fans. They don't just sit there watching it. They'll go to the game. They'll stand in the stands. Someone said that church is like this. They said church is like a couple of people running around, doing all the work, while thousands of people watch, saying how they should be doing it better. Which I think sometimes, unfortunately, is a good view of church. But sometimes we go to the game, and sometimes we think our job is to cheer on what's going on the pitch. So we commit to praying for it. We commit to praying for God to move. We commit to declaring that things are going to happen on the pitch. We're cheering the people on. We're really good at encouraging what God's doing. We don't just sit there and watch. We're getting involved. We're cheering. We're praying. My challenge to you this morning is what God's challenge to all of us is. Guys, don't just stand in the stands praying. Get your kit on and get involved. You're allowed to play. You're allowed to take part in the course of history that is God bringing about his kingdom to earth. Don't just sit there and watch it from the comfort of your own home. Don't even go along cheering others on. Guys, you're allowed to get involved. You're allowed to take part in this cosmic... Oh, sorry, next one. You're allowed to take part in this cosmic plan to bring God's kingdom on earth. There's a fantastic story about Harry Redknapp, who's a football manager, and one of the fans was being so gobby towards him during a West Ham game. He turned to him and genuinely said, "Do you think you can do better?" And the fan said, "Yes." And so Harry Redknapp said, "All right then, there's some kit in the back. What size are you? Size 10 boots. Finding some boots." Honestly, this happened that during a football game, one of the fans came on for West Ham United and scored. And this morning, here is my challenge to you, that God says, "I will bring my people out of Egypt, so you go tell Pharaoh. I will bring my people out of Egypt, so you go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go." You're allowed to get involved. You're allowed to take part. You don't have to wait for someone else's permission. Certainly not Harry Redknapp. You don't have to wait for someone else's permission to bring God's kingdom into your life. You can do it. Jesus said, "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven." You've actually got authority. Judy prayed earlier for healing. I'm raising my expectations of what I believe God can do in the miraculous. I can't heal anyone. I'm not even medically trained. None of you can heal anyone, but God can. So if I believe that God has brought us to this point, then we can pray with an expectation of what God's going to do. And I'll tell you what, you don't need a professional to pray for healing. You can do it. You can do it. I give you permission to pray for healing. Don't be weird about it. Don't punch people in the stomach or anything like that. Put your hand on your shoulder and you can pray for them for healing. Because God says, get involved. God says, get your kit on and start doing the stuff that I've called you to do. I have given you authority. This is Jesus talking. I have given you authority. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in me, says Paul. So if we believe that God is on the move, then we believe that God can use us to bring about his kingdom. Moses reported this to the Israelites. But they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and their harsh labour. Verse 9. I know what you're thinking. Because I think the same. And that's that, quite frankly, life can be disappointing when you get your hopes up too much. I could tell you some fantastic stories about my Christian walk. I could tell you stories of people I've seen being delivered from self-harm. I could tell you stories of people who have been delivered from addictions to pornography. people who have been delivered from crippling poverty. People who should be dead, but aren't. I can tell you stories of things that happened that are miraculous, because God is a big God. I can tell you stories about people who have suffered horrific abuse yet still found a way to forgive. I can tell you stories of family transformations that have happened, financial transformations that have happened, health transformations that have happened, people's situations being turned around by God. And I can also tell you about the times that it didn't happen. I can tell you stories about the times I prayed and they didn't get healed. I can tell you stories about people who slipped back into addictions, even though they had a whole bunch of Christians around them, cheering them on, praying for them, holding them accountable. I can tell you stories about people who still live in poverty. I can tell you stories about people who still died of cancer, even when we prayed that they wouldn't. I can tell you stories about people who still don't know the love and grace of Jesus. And I would be a bad speaker if I acted like a cheerleader, telling you how you can get involved and bring God's kingdom to earth and it's all good and sent you out and didn't tell you that sometimes it's disappointing. That would be unfair of me to do to you. I don't know why sometimes God moves and sometimes he doesn't. I don't know. It's a question I ask all the time. Why did that person get back when that person didn't? I don't know. I don't know why we win certain battles and we lose others. But I do know we win the war. I don't know why certain things, bad things happen to good people. I don't know why. I don't know why it seems that God moves so powerfully over here, but over here darkness seems to prevail. I don't know why we win some battles and lose others. I do know we win ultimately. I do know that ultimately God does triumph. I do know ultimately that those people who didn't get better are raised in bodies that will never fail. I do know that ultimately we win. And this morning, I just want to say to you, don't be like the Israelites who were so bound up by their disappointments that they couldn't hear the voice of hope. Don't be like the Israelites who heard Moses saying, God is going to deliver you. And they didn't want to listen to him because their labor was too harsh. God hadn't moved for 400 years. And when God was about to move, they didn't listen to him because it was too painful to build their hope up again. I would be lying to you if I told you that everything I prayed for happened. But I am going to raise my expectations again. I am going to raise my expectations about what God can do. I refuse to bow to disappointment. Instead, I will choose to listen to the voice of hope, the voice that says, actually, I will bring my people out of slavery. I have heard the cries of my people. I'd encourage you this morning to listen, to pray again, to drum up the courage to ask God again, even if in the past you've been disappointed. Don't be like the Israelites who couldn't listen to the voice of hope because they were so drowned by their disappointment. Galatians says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. If you're with Jesus, you are ultimately on the winning side. If you're with Jesus, ultimately love does triumph. And sometimes we don't win all the battles. In fact, we don't win all the battles. Sometimes darkness does seem to triumph. But I do know that ultimately light will triumph over all of these things. And then there are the plagues. Have you read the plagues? Bizarre, aren't they? Just very odd. Very odd things to happen. And I was reading them this week. It's like, these things are horrible. And there's death, and there's darkness, and there are frogs, for some reason. And there are gnats, and there are locusts, and it's all, and there are it's bizarre. So I do what I always do when I find a bit in the Bible that I don't understand, which is ask my dad. And I don't mean that in a super spiritual, I ask my heavenly father. No, I literally just ask my dad, because he knows loads of stuff. And I asked him about this, about the plagues. I was like, what are your thoughts? And he said this, which I think is just great. The plagues aren't punishment for the Egyptians. The plagues are demonstrating who is God. You see, the Egyptians, and I think we looked at this ages ago, when I first, like my first sermon or something. The Egyptians had loads of different gods. They had the gods of the sun. They had the god of the Nile. They had gods like that were the creatures in the sea, like frogs. And there's a new god on the block, and his name is Yahweh. And the prophet Moses is telling the Egyptians about this new god Yahweh. And their response is, what can your god do? What can your god do that our gods can't do? And if you read the story of the plagues, Moses does something. And then the magicians from Egypt copy them. And the magicians from Egypt replicate what God's doing. And then eventually, they can't replicate anymore what God was doing. The plagues in Egypt aren't God punishing the Egyptians. The plagues in Egypt are Yahweh saying, I am bigger than your gods. The plagues in Egypt are God saying, your gods can't do this, but I can. You see, sometimes we get disappointed by God. Sometimes we think that we're not winning enough battles. But we know that our God ultimately is bigger. We do know that ultimately our God does triumph. Because Yahweh is bigger than the false gods of Egypt. Yahweh can do more than the false gods of Egypt. And it's the same God today. Yahweh can still do more than the false gods of materialism. Yahweh can still do more than the false gods of consumption. Yahweh can still do more than loneliness, than alcoholism, than all the other addictions. That Yahweh is still a bigger God than them. So this morning, I'm just going to ask that we'd encounter God, we'd encounter the Holy Spirit, and I'd encourage you to raise your expectations as to what God can do.